We are now recording, and so this is where you start giggling, and we waste 5 minutes.
All right, so I'm going to open it up just like normal on that. So,
hey guys, it's Mike here. Welcome to the BFG podcast. I'm here with Rumble McFutterson.
I guess that's how we're starting the show today, but that works for me. That way we don't waste that much time. Sorry, guys, we were, somebody in this room just had to go on vacation for like 3,000 years, so we couldn't film last week.
That is approximately the correct amount of time.
Approximately. So if you were following on Instagram and Facebook, you would see a whole bunch of updates of all the amazing things that you were doing all the way through.
Yeah.
I just got back yesterday from Tampa Bay Comic Con. I got to meet the amazing David Harbour, who does Chief Hopper from Stranger Things. But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We are going to go back a little bit, talk about some other things. One of my personal favorite shows growing up, Rugrats, is coming back by the original creators. Nickelodeon's producing it. We're going to talk, I was going to say a San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up, but it's really just a couple trailers that we're going to talk about. We've got a review for Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I'm going to talk a little bit about Tampa Bay Comic Con and how cons in general seem to be kind of shifting a little bit. Not necessarily great, not necessarily bad. Tyler's going to talk a little bit about his trip, you know, the board games he was playing, some of the games that they played, all that kind of fun stuff. And we're just going to jump right into it. So starting right out, Tyler, Rugrats. I think this actually got announced.
Wait, yes. Wait.
What?
What's new with you? What did you do?
You know what? It's been so long, I completely forgot to ask. So what's new in my world? Like I said, I just got back from Tampa Bay Comic Con this past weekend. Got to meet the amazing David Harbour. I completely forgot how younger fangirls squeal for young actors, as in Noah Schnapp, who does Will.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I promise I was getting
to
a point.
That was a weird segue.
That was a weird segue.
I thought you were still talking about David Harbour, and
no.
I was like, wait a minute.
Well, they were screaming for him, too. But, no, so the way they had it set up is, you know, they had David and Noah right next to each other. David came out first, you know, he had a decently long line, and Noah's line was through the roof.
Yeah.
And so once Noah came out, I couldn't hear for a good 15 seconds because you look in the line right next to us and you had all the younger girls just screaming. You know, they were screaming, they were crying, which is great. You know, he's obviously, he loves his fans. I mean, I had the opportunity to meet him last year. He was fantastic. But you can definitely tell, with these younger child actors how much they really mean to these people. And they can scream, that's for sure. But no, I got to meet David Harbour, which was fantastic. You know, I got to walk around the convention a little bit. Other than that, obviously just still kind of doing the same things around, you know, trying to make it through the dog days of summer, being August in Florida, which is not fun.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't live in Florida, trust me, you know, rainstorms every day. But other than that, you know, I have another convention actually coming up this coming Saturday. I'll be in Orlando for Walker Stalker Con, pure Walking Dead convention. A lot of big name actors are going to be there, but I primarily am just going to see the wonderful King Ezekiel, who is my second favorite character in the show, who actually, I don't know if you know, also voices Cyborg from Teen Titans.
I did not know that.
Well, now you know. Kari Payton voices, he did Cyborg and Teen Titans Go to the Movies. He did Cyborg and the original Teen Titans way back when. He's not doing Cyborg and Titans, which we'll talk about later. But that's what's going on with me. Tyler, you had a vacation. What's going on? What's going on with you?
Well, we spent 2 weeks. We spent like about a week of it up in Ohio visiting family. And we spent about 6 days on the road, all told, before and after getting to Ohio. And so on the way up, we stopped at some like state parks. We stopped at like cabins and things like that.
So
we got to do, yeah, we got to do like some hiking. We got to play some games. It was nice. It was nice to kind of like get away. And so that was really cool. And if you're on any of our social media, it's on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. I've got pictures like from up on top of a mountain where you can actually see like, I think it's like three or four different states. You're in Virginia or West Virginia, but looking out from the mountaintop, you can actually see Kentucky and Tennessee,
yes,
I believe. Yep. And then there's like a mountain ridge on one side, but like across there would be Virginia. But it was just gorgeous. It was really cool.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, I remember last year I actually took a trip, if you remember, up to Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, I've never, you know, a lot of people always will say they've never seen snow in real life. I've never actually seen mountains like that.
Yeah.
And I remember going up through Tennessee, going up what was a mountain or a giant hill. And I remember coming up over the landscape and just seeing the mountains just come up.
Yeah.
I did something a little illegal there that I told people later. I'm sitting there driving like this with my camera, trying to take pictures going like this.
Yeah.
I did not crash because I'm still here. I am still here. But it was breathtaking. It was amazing. And I stayed in Tennessee, about 15 minutes away from Elvis's place, which I stupidly did not go to because I'm an idiot. But, you know, I stopped there for the night and I went to the House of Wax that's there. And you can get up on the very top where Kong is and you can look around and see the mountains from there.
Yeah.
It's, you can only tell so much, but when you see it, it's, mm-hmm. it's so much different. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, we try to make the trip. We used to make it, you know, when we were kids, we would go like 2 or 3 times a year with my parents. And now, you know, we're lucky if we can make it once a year. Normally, it's like every 2 or 3 years we get up there. But it never stops amazing me whenever you're driving through the mountains and stuff. It's just, it's always so gorgeous.
Absolutely.
But then, so we got up there and we spent 7 days, 8 days, mm-hmm. something like that. And then on the drive, and we played a lot of games, a lot of board games and stuff like that. We did 4 different escape rooms while we were up there. And then on the way back, we did, it was another like cabin farmhouse kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Just another kind of like retreat. And that one was rough because the first time we at least had like internet and stuff. And this time, like everything was conked out like on purpose. You know, they didn't have any Wi-Fi. They didn't have a TV, or they had like a TV with basic cable channels. Stuff like that.
Right.
But it was very much like you go out there for like the nature part of it. And they had like canoes and things like that. So it was really gorgeous. It was a really cool trip and we played a lot of board games. We played one of the new ones we did was Neverland's Legacy.
Okay.
And that one was really cool. It's a skirmish game. And it plays pretty quick. You can play through it in like 45 minutes or so. And I think I would probably, I don't know what I would compare it to. It uses like different panels. So instead of it being like one cohesive board, there's like 3 different levels. And you can play as the Lost Boys trying to save the kidnapped Lost Boys. And then you're on the ship. You're on, like, the Jolly Roger trying to find the Lost Boys and save them.
Mm-hmm.
You can also play as the pirates trying to kidnap the Lost Boys. And in that case, you flip those tiles, and it's Neverland Island instead. And so you're, like, traversing the island trying to find them and kidnap them instead. But it plays really smooth. I mean, thematically, it's good. It doesn't really do anything, like, outstanding, but it's a solid experience. It uses kind of a randomized deck-building mechanic, but it feels like it kind of sways toward the pirate side a little bit. It feels like it's a little bit harder for the Lost Boys, which I guess makes sense. But that was a lot of fun. We played Arkham Horror. We played Ticket to Ride. We played some of the more like traditional like family games like Hand and Foot and Rummy Cube and Apples to Apples and things like that. We played a lot of Mario Kart. We pulled out the Switch a few days, played a lot of Mario Kart.
Always a fun game.
Yeah. One of the big things, one of my favorite, so the escape room, we did one that was just an escape room. But I think one of the big things for me, one thing I thought was super cool was up there in, it's maybe like 25 minutes away from where they live. It's a Huntington, mm-hmm. Huntington, West Virginia. They've got, it's a escape room, but they give you like 5 hours and you go through all of their escape rooms at once. Mm-hmm. Or not at once, but you know, in a row.
Yeah, of course.
And,
be interesting to go through all at once, right?
And so... you start out and it's like an outbreak. So you go into this room and it's like there's like a zombie virus or something like that that you're trying to solve. And so you're stuck in like, at first you're out in an alley and then the second room is like a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And so you solve that one and then you go to the next escape room experience, which is a murder mystery. And then in the third room, it's a, you're like doing theater tryouts. And I think what was really cool was that they give you a certain amount of time and they add it up. So you have 60 minutes, 60 minutes, 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. But they don't necessarily say, oh, well, you went over 60 minutes on this one, so you lose. Mm-hmm. You do all three of them and then they add up your total length. And at the end, as long as it's less than 180 minutes, you still win.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we ended up, actually the second one, the murder mystery one, we ended up going over by just a few minutes. So if we had just done the murder mystery one, we would not have won. But being we did it as a lock-in, we ended up beating the lab with like 7 minutes to spare. And then we beat the audition one, it's called Break a Leg, I think. We beat that one with like 15 minutes to spare. So we ended up like succeeding and winning, but even though we went over a few minutes on one of them.
Okay.
But that was, I think that was really cool because if, you know, we do a lot of escape rooms, like my brothers and I, and whenever you kind of get to this point where it's like you do one and then you go do something else, it's kind of fun for like the junkies, you know,
yeah,
to kind of have something to do like all in a row like that without having to pay like a ridiculous amount of money for it because they give you a big discount for doing it that way. So that was super cool. That was like one of the big standouts for me was I liked that a lot. Those, and they were fun escape rooms. They made them like personalized. So since it was like this little like hometown thing, the people in Huntington like helped them out. So it wasn't like super professional. You could tell it was made with like, you know, just a home video camera or like a phone or something. But it was a lot of fun because it was just like people that lived around that were like helping them record videos that were just like, yeah, and like local neighborhoods and stuff like that. They were recording these videos for their escape room. And they actually got the mayor of Huntington to record dialogue for the outbreak one. It was supposed to be like an outbreak in Huntington. And they had the mayor like sitting there at his desk, like reading the emergency warning letters and what to do in case they've been bitten and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun. Just kind of that like, they weren't afraid to like kind of lean into the cheesiness a little bit and they just had fun with it. And I thought that made it like a little bit more endearing to me than a lot of just the normal escape rooms we do.
You know, I always like seeing some of the political figures getting into the fun with that and just letting them know that they are human and they want to, you know, they're pumping up their city as well. Mm-hmm. It's a good image for them.
Yeah.
So.
No, so that was a lot of fun. That was probably one of the standouts for me. Yeah, that kind of covers the trip. Then we were supposed to get home actually like yesterday afternoon, which would not only have given us less time to prepare for the podcast, but also we would not have been able to go see Teen Titans.
No.
And then on Thursday, we were headed to our next destination, and I got a call from a school asking if I wanted a position. So instead of staying another couple of nights and coming home Saturday, we drove all the way through on Thursday. We ended up driving, I think, something like 850 miles or something on Thursday to try to get back home. And we got here at like 1 a.m. And then I woke up the next morning and drove straight over there. And they gave me the position. So I've got a kindergarten class. My first class is going to be a kindergarten class.
So everyone and, congratulate Tyler, he's moving up in the world.
Yeah, so I've got an actual, like, real big boy job now. And so tomorrow's actually my first day.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No, because so school starts on the 13th or whatever next Monday is, but tomorrow is planning week. So tomorrow is actually going to be my first day as a kindergarten teacher.
Moving up.
Yeah,
moving
so up. That's kind of a big deal.
Definitely.
But,
so you finish a good vacation to come back with some great news. It's fantastic.
So that's been my last couple of weeks.
So a little bit more adventurous than mine since I just had the one show. But why don't we get into some topics? Topics, I should say. So the first topic that I was saying before I completely forgot because it's been so long that we usually talk about what's going on with us. I think this got announced like a few days right after we did our last show. And that is Rugrats coming back. Original creators behind it, Nickelodeon, I believe, ordered 24 or 27 new episodes, and it's going to be animation, as well as a CG movie. I believe Paramount's going to be behind that, and they did the other ones too, which is fine. So my thoughts on that, the one big one I'm going to jump into, and this could be me just overthinking it, is they said that casting is going on for it now. The only two that they're going to need to cast, Tyler, because I don't know if you know this, is the amazing Christina Cavanaugh, who sadly passed away a few years ago. She did Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to need to recast Chucky. And then, you know, unfortunately, I forget the gentleman's name who did Stu, you know, Tommy's father. He passed away as well. But my question is, why do you want to recast these characters when you still have the original amazing cast there who have said they would love to come back and do it? It's essentially the same thing as the Powerpuff Girls that came back on Cartoon Network. The show, first and foremost, wasn't that good, but then they also brought in new cast to do these characters. And the original cast is like, we were waiting for a call the whole time. We want to come back and do it.
Yeah.
So, and also with the Powerpuff Girls, that's going to be different regards, is Dan McCracken, I believe his name is, he didn't do the new reboot of the Powerpuff Girls. The new reboot of the Rugrats is going to be done by Garber, Klasky, Cusco, all the weird names that were always at the end of the episode. So they're going to be behind it. So that's, you know, check mark off that box.
Okay.
A CG movie, okay, whatever. You know, I'm willing to see whatever they got to do. I'm not as upset about that. You know, obviously I prefer traditional animation, but if we get a traditional animated in the same style and not in a new Powerpuff Girls or Fairly Odd Parents style Rugrats, if they make it in the same art style that was so unique for them at that time, I'm okay with that, and I want to see what they have to do with these new adventures. You know, I imagine they're still going to be down into the baby form. You know, they pretty much said that it's not going to be like all grown up or anything when they're 10 plus years older.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be very interesting to see what they can do. It'll be interesting to see what this work casting means outside of casting someone to do Chucky, which, if I may throw a name out there because I think she could do it, I'm going to say Veronica Taylor, who was the original voice actress for Ash Ketchum, you know, because she did a 10-year-old boy and did it very well. I think she can throw her voice to do a nasally 2-year-old baby.
Yeah.
I think she would be very well versed to do it. But I'm definitely interested to see what they got to do. I grew up watching Rugrats. I love the Rugrats. I can still watch Rugrats to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually make it every year to rewatch the holiday specials, the Halloween special with the Reptar Bar, Turn Your Tongue Green, which actually FYE started carrying them, and they do Turn Your Tongue Green. I watched all the Christmas ones. The Santa Experience was my absolute favorite one. I watched that every year. It's on YouTube somewhat in like 2-minute videos, and there's like 6 or 7 parts of it, but it is there. So Rugrats being so near and dear to me, I gotta see what they gotta do with it. I'm excited. I will sit down and watch every episode. I don't care, as long as it's good. But don't switch out the voice actors and actresses in this one. You've got the cast that are like, yes, we'll come back. E.G. Daly, Tara Strong, they will come back, mm-hmm. do what they need to do. And they've been pushing for it for a while. So I'm going to stop rambling now about how much I love a bunch of babies and whatnot, but I'm going to let Tyler say something here, because I'm all for this. I'm all for this 100%. So your thoughts, Tyler.
About Rugrats?
Coming back in general, anything. Just, you care, do you not care? What's up?
I did not watch Rugrats growing up.
I mean, we're not friends anymore, but okay.
So, I mean, I'm fine with it. I understand, like, the you know, kind of that controversy whenever a show comes back, especially after so long, and they either have to recast or just decide to recast.
Yes.
Either way it goes. I understand, you know, how sensitive that can be, because you kind of have these voices that you associate with these animated characters and how tough it can be to transition. I feel like one that did it really well recently was DuckTales.
Yes.
DuckTales, like, the voices are just a little bit different, but also similar enough that it's still like really nostalgic and kind of has that same feel. So I like I like the new DuckTales a lot, and I think that one made the transition really well, but I understand how apprehensive you can be about it.
Well, and I think my thing is that Nickelodeon was the one, at least so far, for the three I'm about to mention, they got it right. The first one, when they finally produced Hey Arnold, the Jungle Movie, they had all the originals as best they could. You know, unfortunately, kids grow up, which kids actually did the voices of Arnold and Gerald and Sid and everyone. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't throw their voices to be, you know, the fourth graders into going into fifth grade that they were. The amazing Francesca Capaldi, I hope I pronounced that right, who did Helga, you know, her voice didn't really change. So she came back as an adult and reprised Helga. Mm-hmm. Mr. Simmons was still the same. Harold was still the same. So they had to recast the kids, which is understandable there, but it was still done in the same style, animation, everything as it was done beforehand.
Yeah.
And the other two that are not out yet, the Rocko's Modern Life Static Kling movie, that's going to have all the same actor, voice actors and actresses as the original. I believe the only one that I've seen different so far was Really, Really Big Man. He sounds different. I don't know what the story is behind that. But Rocko, Carlos Alas Rocky, who I had the amazing pleasure of meeting back in March, he's reprising his role of Rocko. Tom Kenny will be back as Heifer. I cannot remember the name of who did Filbert. It drives me nuts. Charlie Adler is going to be back as Mr. and Mrs. Bighead. And then the Invader Zim movie that's mm-hmm. coming out. They have the original voice actors and actresses for the Invader Zim movie. And I think for someone like me, in the way that I pointed out, or the way I see it, is last year, I want to say November, I don't think you came with me to this one, but they put out Pokemon, the movie I Choose You. And
yeah, Haven, I missed out on that one.
And here's the thing with it. It was okay, but it didn't have, like, it didn't, and I know Pokemon, you know, they've changed hands, changed studios. Four Kids is no longer around. It was on Cartoon Network. I think it's now on Disney XD. I think it would have been better if they had Veronica Taylor, at least for an old fan like me, especially because it was a soft reboot, if you will. Like, yeah. You know, Brock and Misty weren't there. So Ash was starting over again in a way. Mm-hmm. So I think that would have been cool to have her. But, and I think that really kind of drived it down a little bit. So as opposed to something like Rugrats, and I know you said DuckTales did it well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it can't beat them up, but for something, and I don't want to say DuckTales isn't iconic as it is, but for something that, especially me, that I grew up watching Rugrats, that was my first show that I watched on Nickelodeon, yeah. Period, end of story. That's why I think it holds a little more space in my heart to be like, hey, you know, give me the original Rugrats actors. Unfortunately, no, Christina Cavanaugh, yeah, we can't do anything about that. But, yeah, I mean, just give me the originals. I mean, you already have the original studio behind it. Keep it going from there.
I do have thoughts about another upcoming animated movie.
Let's hear it.
But that can wait a minute.
That can wait a minute.
We'll do that during Comic-Con.
During Comic-Con stuff. So, well, actually, that's pretty much my thoughts on it, unless you have anything else that you wanted to add.
I don't think so. Not about that, at least. I was looking at my list. I've got one or two more things I wanted to talk about. I forgot to mention them earlier.
Okay.
But we'll get to those in a minute. After Teen Titans, I wanted to talk about, I saw Mission Impossible Fallout.
Okay.
That we went and saw the new Mission Impossible while we were in Ohio, too. So I was going to talk about that for a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely do that one. That'll make up for the Christopher Robin review that we can't really talk
about. Yeah, we'll do that. That'll be in our next one.
That'll be in the next one.
We'll definitely go see it either this week or next week, but we didn't, being you had Comic-Con and I was out of town, I was on vacation, we didn't have time to see both.
So we got one out of the way for you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go into some trailers that were at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm looking at my list here. So I'm going to switch a little bit. I'm going to start with Aquaman. Jason Momoa, obviously, fantastic actor. Could this be a switch that maybe DC needs? Because it didn't look terrible. It didn't look fantastic, the trailer.
I mean, you could say that about most of their trailers.
No, I can say most of the trailers were shit. I mean, Wonder Woman was good, but the Batman v Superman.
Wonder Woman was a really solid movie, and the trailers did that justice. One that I know had a lot of hype, that a lot of people liked up until the movie came out, was Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, the trailers did, even better than the movie did.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, this has nothing to do with Comic-Con, but have you seen the new trailer for Venom?
Yes.
Because you've been trash-talking Venom a lot, and this new trailer, so after the first trailer, I was like, dude, Venom's going to be great. And you were like, it's going to be garbage. And I'm using the word garbage because that's not the word you used. But
you can fill in the blanks with the words that I use.
But you were talking about how terrible it was going to be. And then I was like, no, it's going to be good. And then the new trailer came out. And it sounds like a lot of people are kind of changing their tune now. There are some people that have been talking like, you know, actually, this new trailer kind of makes it look better than the first one did. And I'm like, I told you.
The new trailer does look better than the first one. But Let's finish this first.
Okay, sorry.
We'll get into that one. But no, Aquaman, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a change because I trust Jason Momoa. I thought he did well enough in Justice League as Aquaman for, you know, how DC pretty much shit all over all their superheroes outside of Superman. Again, making us not care because Superman will come and save the day. So what do we need these others for? But no, I'm looking forward to that one. Actually, the other movie we're going to talk about too in a minute, I'm looking forward to. But Aquaman, I think, could be a change for them and something decent.
Aquaman looks really solid right now to me. Mm-hmm. It's been getting a lot of crap because of the poster. Of him floating there and all the fish are, like, crowding behind him.
Yeah, and someone said that they just use Photoshop and whatnot, because there is a Photoshop picture of a shark that if you Google it, it'll come up with them. But that's how posters are made. They did not put him in water with sharks actually swimming around. I promise you that was not a thing.
But I didn't necessarily have a huge problem with the poster, but I know people...
I didn't really care for
people have kind of been really bothered about that. But the trailer, I think, looks fine. Mera's hair is really unbelievable. Like, it's, like, really red. Like, really red. Like, this is, like, X-Men 2 Jean Grey bad shades of red. But it's, other than that, you know, that's my biggest complaint right now. So that's a good sign.
You know, even for me, like, you know, I'll laugh at a poster, but I don't think a movie poster is going to make the movie. I look at the trailers.
Yeah.
So the trailer, you know, not
trailer
terrible.
Looks good.
Trailer looks good. We'll see. I think
I know that I'm just more optimistic in general, but normally I just say
it's
that
DC
all the time.
And me, I'm trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, normally I just say that all the time because, like, before Green Lantern came out, I was like, "It's Green Lantern. It's gonna be awesome." And if you know me, you know how I feel about Green Lantern.
Yes.
And so
that one was a fun one.
So after that one, that was, you know, you got kind of burned a little bit by that one. But I was really optimistic about that one. Then when they started their cinematic universe, I was like, because, okay, so I really liked Man of Steel.
Okay.
I thought whenever they were first starting this stuff, like, Man of Steel was like their Iron Man. And I feel like Man of Steel was a really solid movie. I liked that one. And then when they started doing other movies, that's when it started going downhill. But I liked Henry Cavill. I thought he was good in Man of Steel. But I was like, Man of Steel is going to be good. I'm actually excited. Because normally I'm not excited for the Superman movies. I haven't really liked the old ones or even Superman Returns. I wasn't huge on. But I really liked Man of Steel. And then Batman v Superman, when the trailers came out for that, I'm like, it's going to be great. And then it came out and I was like, it wasn't bad. And everybody was like, no, it was really bad. And I'm like, I liked it for what it was. And everybody was like, no. Like,
it was way too long.
They were like, you shouldn't like this movie. And I was like, don't make me feel guilty. I kind of enjoyed it. And they were like, no, you should feel bad about even enjoying that movie a little bit. And it was the same with, like, Suicide Squad 2 and Justice League. Like, the whole time. Like, there's all these movies coming out. And I'm like, well, I mean, they weren't great, but they were okay, I guess. And everybody was like, no, stop it. Your opinions are wrong. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I feel like I need to, like, apologize and justify enjoying a movie now, but I didn't feel like they were as bad as people were making them out to be. But,
oh, no.
But the Aquaman... But, you know, obviously Wonder Woman did great, and I thought Wonder Woman was great. And Aquaman looks like it might be another kind of, like, I guess, lighter movie. Looks like maybe it won't go as, like, just dark and gloomy as Batman v Superman or Man of Steel. So... I'm excited about that.
We know it will be a lighter movie as we transition to the next one.
Shazam. Titans.
Shazam.
Titans.
Let's talk Shazam first. So, I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw the trailer for Shazam, I don't recall the last time I was so excited to see a DC movie. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I love the sense of humor, and I also really like Zachary Levi. I think he's great. Because, you know, he kind of first came into the limelight with Chuck.
Yes.
And Chuck is, like, one of my favorite TV shows. I normally don't keep up with shows. I'm really bad about that. I'm one of those where, like, after a couple of seasons, I'll, like, binge through them. I think I've mentioned that before. You know, I don't, like, keep up per se. I'll wait for a season to be over and then just watch the whole thing in, like, a weekend or something like that. But I kept up with Chuck. I liked Chuck a lot.
Okay.
And so I've been, you know, I've been trying to, I really like him as an actor. I think he's a really fun guy. And so whenever I saw that it was him, I was excited. And then after I saw the trailer, I was even more excited. It just looks like all sorts of fun.
Honestly, it looks great to me. Like, I think it's, I, you know, I don't want to compare it to this, but I think it's going to be like that lighthearted fun, like Guardians of the Galaxy is I want to say. I like the costume.
So my thought whenever I watched it was Spider-Man Homecoming.
I can see some of that.
It basically feels like, you know, this kid who gets superpowers and he's super stoked about it.
And he's still learning about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. I'm very excited to see this movie, mm-hmm. and I really hope DC doesn't screw it up or the next trailer that comes out is shit.
And they've even gone full in with like the crazy like padded armor, like Zachary Levi is like this skinny little like nerd guy, but the Shazam suit is like super buffed up, yes. and he looks like super weird in this suit, but. It almost fits in with the goofiness of the movie because he's sitting here like, whoa, look at me.
So I think it's going to be a very good movie. Jack Dylan Grazer, who was in It, I like him as mm-hmm. a young actor. I think he's going to play it very well.
Yeah.
To play off it. And, you know, Shazam's coming. Could that mean something more? The Atom coming maybe later on? Who knows? He could make a guest appearance. But I've never been so excited to see a movie, to see a DC movie until I saw that Shazam trailer. It looks really good.
It does. It looks like fun.
And I think why it looks so much better, and I hope that this could be a thing for something, is, yes, DC is more gritty and dark than Marvel, at least in the movie standpoint, but that doesn't mean they can't produce something that's a little more lighthearted like this.
Yeah.
And, well, and you know, I feel they still make their money.
They tried in Justice League to introduce Ezra Miller as, like, their comic relief.
Yes.
And he was funny. Like, I feel like he was, you know, one of the standouts of Justice League.
He did better than I thought.
Yeah. Absolutely, so. But he didn't pull it out of the... Yeah. muck, you know. It was still one of those where it was still really dark and really gloomy, but they tried to kind of like make it more lighthearted by adding Ezra Miller as the Flash,
yeah,
and also randomly giving Ben Affleck one-liners, which was weird to me because they established his character so definitely in Batman v Superman, but then in Justice League all of a sudden he's like the one-liner guy, you know, like every time you turn around, Batman's making some sort of joke about, like, your superpowers or, you know, how goofy you are. And it's like, this doesn't make sense within the context of the universe you've set up for yourself anymore.
Well, that's because he's rich.
But that's neither here nor there anymore. Nope. We've moved on from that.
Yes. So, no.
Within the context of the podcast, we won't spend too much time complaining about Justice League.
Yeah, anyway. So, Shazam comes out, I believe, March of next year. So, right before... For Infinity War Part 2, whatever mm-hmm. that's called. So they'll get a good jump start on that. So
I got one more before we go to the bad.
Yeah.
They didn't really show anything. It was just a teaser with a quick logo. But they announced a Steven Universe movie. And I'm super excited about that.
I didn't see that. I gotta check that out.
I think it's like 10 seconds long or something. They legitimately just kind of like... show the, you see his shield, mm-hmm. and it shows like Steven Universe, but it was literally just kind of to announce that they're making it. It's going to be a TV movie. It's not coming to theaters, but they are making a movie, so I'm super stoked about that because I love Steven Universe.
Hey,
that's like my modern cartoon. So, you know, like I've got my classics that like, you know, nothing can touch those because of the nostalgia and sentiment and stuff, kind of like Rugrats and stuff for you. And I've got those, but I every once in a while I stumble across like a modern cartoon that I'm like super into. And before this, it was Gravity Falls.
Yes.
I was so into Gravity Falls. And then after Gravity Falls, I had nothing for like a couple of years. And now I can't stop watching Steven Universe. I love Steven Universe.
Shows are coming back. Because I think a lot of the people that are producing these shows now were kids when we were kids.
Yeah.
Who grew up with something and now are producing it themselves, which is great if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we have to talk about this next one.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to kick back a little bit. I'm going to grab some of my drink. And Mike.
Oh, frick.
Talk about Titans. Keeping in mind that we're trying to keep this somewhat fairly friendly. You've already dropped a few words. And I know, you know, we've accepted that as a part of our podcast.
But
Titans, keep in mind that we don't know who is watching this and talk Titans.
But Titans is rated R, Tyler, because, you know. So for those of you who
do you want to talk about the big line from the trailer?
No. I'm gonna say what I wanna say, and then I'm just gonna go and just go. So for those of you who don't know, I am more of a Marvel fan. I am. Back in the early 2000s, that's when I was introduced to Teen Titans, the show on Cartoon Network. Outstanding show. I did enjoy it more than Justice League and Justice League Unlimited that were also running at the same time on Saturday nights. Unfortunately, Teen Titans ended with no sixth season to have a cliffhanger. We'll get to that in a minute.
And they replaced it with
Teen Titans Go,
which
we'll talk about in a minute. So DC, over here, trying to just ram down our throats that they are more edgy, is producing a new show called Titans. And it looks like crap. Between what the costumes look like for everything, and first and foremost, before I say this, I have absolutely zero problem with Starfire being African-American. I really have no problem with that. I have a problem with how each and every single one of them look. Each and every one of them look like garbage. And I know, because it's going to be that adult-rated flick. They got to change it up a little bit. They're not going to be wearing their same stuff. What?
Well, should I let you get through your thing first?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll let you finish. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here. I'm going to... I'll let you do your thing.
I feel like I should just go out there while you talk. I just have so many questions. This is not what we... I swear, Warner Brothers at times just don't listen to what the fans are wanting. We sit here and say, we want to finish Teen Titans Season 6. Kind of do what they did with Samurai Jack. Even if they made it a little bit more dark and edgy and made like a 13-episode run and put it on Adult Swim, just to wrap it up, but we get Teen Titans Go.
And just a side note, yes. If you haven't seen Samurai Jack, super, super dope.
Absolutely.
Definitely go watch Samurai Jack.
All of it.
All the way through to the final season that finally gave us our, our resolution.
But as for Titans, you know, so we get Teen Titans Go, which honestly, I watched some clips of it, and later in the seasons, they do make fun of themselves. They do, which I think is pretty cool. You know, a show that's still not good compared to what we had, but it was serving the point and to give it to the kids that wanted it. Mm-hmm. But then we got Titans, and it's just bad. It's, why are they producing this? I mean, and again, you know, we brought this up in the first episode when we were talking about how people were threatening Chris Pratt because of what he did in Infinity War, which hopefully is not a spoiler anymore because that was months ago. But the people are getting online and threatening these actors. And, you
know, I was just going to say, at this point, Infinity War is out on digital.
Yes.
I don't know, did physical come out yet?
No, next week or two.
Next week. Okay, so the digital copy of Infinity War is out now. Physical comes out in a week or two. If you haven't seen it yet, you are running out of excuses really quickly.
Yes.
I know, I had a buddy that had not gone to see it in theaters. He was one of like the only people in the world that never went to see it in theaters. Mm-hmm. And he just hit me up yesterday, and he was like, I got it on iTunes, and I just watched it. And so we were like geeking out about it now that he's finally seen it. So you are quickly running out of excuses. And if you have not seen it by our next podcast, we will probably stop trying to avoid spoilers at that point.
Pretty much.
But we weren't avoiding spoilers in that one.
No, in the first episode.
During Infinity War, we just kind of set everything and laid it out. But if you haven't watched that one, you know, the gloves are off now.
So we have that. And so people are now threatening these actors and actresses on Titans, which is never a good thing. Whether you like the show or not, you know, don't do it, please.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Or girl. Anyway. Anyway. So, it's just dark, gritty. There's a famous one-liner that I don't want to say because it is family-friendly-ish podcast. I try not to say that.
Yeah.
That Robin says. Not even Dick Grayson or Nightwing, but still Robin. And I don't know what the tone is dark, but what are they trying to do? It's just terrible, and I just don't want to watch it, and I'm not going to watch it. You know, I don't really watch a lot of the TV shows between DC and Marvel even, but this one I'm definitely going to be avoiding.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you probably will be. Go ahead. Okay.
All right, then.
Apologize.
Wow. I was just going to say...
what Titans actually do? Go ahead.
I believe that Titans is going to be the first of their, like, new streaming service, isn't it? Didn't they say Titans? So DC is launching, like, their, like, universe app, where it's going to be, like, a subscription service where you can access, like, their movies and their TV shows and their comics and all this within, like, one unified location. And it's going to be like a subscription service, kind of like a Netflix or something, except it also includes like comic books and things too, if you're using it on like a tablet or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm wanting to, like I said, I think that Titans is going to be kind of like their way of getting people in or not getting people in, as it turns out, based on the reaction, maybe that won't be getting people in, but I think that was supposed to be one of their big like DC Universe premieres, so like you have to subscribe to their service to watch this show.
It's gonna be big, all right. Anyway, I don't want to keep talking. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Tiny thing. I'm not even gonna fight you on the show. I am not as rabid a fan. I didn't have as many problems with the Titans trailer, but you know, like I said, I'm also not like a super fan of Teen Titans. I thought it's a good show. It's solid. But I'm not going to, you know, rage about it. I didn't have as many problems with it. But what I liked, and I probably would not have brought it up except you brought it up, was the costumes. So one thing that's been consistent across superhero costumes for a long time is in the comics, you know, they put on the mask and it makes them, like, unidentifiable. And in the movies for a long time, you know, like, especially, like, with Batman, dating back to, like, you know, Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer and them, they put on the mask and all of a sudden they also have black eyeshadow.
Oh, yeah.
Painted all around their eyes and things. But then there'll be scenes where they take off the mask and their face is just clean, like magically. They never really explain it away or anything. It's just there. The one exception I can think of is Kick-Ass. Mm-hmm. You saw Nicolas Cage like putting on his eyeshadow and stuff like that. But in Titans, in the trailer for Titans, one thing I noticed is that you can actually see it like wearing with the character. I don't know if they'll like try to explain it in the show, if they're going to show them like putting it on and taking it off or anything, but it doesn't look like this like magical costume eyeshadow. You can see in the trailer that like there are scenes where Robin has like the good eyeshadow. But then, like, after scuffles and things, his eyeshadow is, like, all smeared away, and you can, like, see his, like, skin around his eyes and stuff again. And if they justify that in the show and, like, make that a continuum, then that solves one of, like, my big costume complaints from superhero movies dating, like, all the way back. But, so, like I said, it's a tiny detail. Just one of those little, like, pet peeves of mine.
Yeah, well.
But if they're actually going to pay attention to that and make it part of the show, then that makes me happy. That's all I had.
Yeah. Well, I'm moving on to the next one because I don't want to keep talking about this anymore. And that's going to be Teen Titans Go to the Movies. So we've established that the Teen Titans Go show.
We have established that the Teen Titans do, in fact, go to the movies.
Definitely.
They did do that.
They did. And
the movie lives up to its name.
They do. Big time. I guess we should keep going.
Yeah, that was it.
All right. So, no, I really liked... I don't really like the show too much. You know, I've watched some clips online. And there were some parts that were like, okay, but it's not the Teen Titans that we know.
Yeah.
But it seems like when Teen Titans Go to the Movies, it was just like Warner Brothers and Cartoon Network are just like... Just keep it family-friendly, of course. But just go and have fun with it, which I think they did. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely had a lot of good moments in it. They had a lot of throwback moments. They picked a lot at Marvel for things.
Yeah.
A famous, I don't want to say what it is, but a character was in there not expecting.
Yeah, there's a really fun cameo in there.
There is a fun cameo, and I like how they had him do the cameo as well later on. Just being like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fantastic. And one thing I gotta say that Teen Titans Go got right is they use all the original actors from the original Teen Titans back in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Going back to what I said about Rugrats. So, I actually really enjoyed the movie. I mean, it wasn't fantastic by any means, but I did find myself laughing.
Yeah, you're not going to come out of here like texting all your friends saying you have to go see this. But I think it was a good family-friendly like lampoon of like Marvel and DC movies right now. It's not afraid to poke fun at itself or at its counterparts, like in the DC universe, or even at its rivals in Marvel, or even just other movies in general.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought I was thinking it was mostly going to stick to like the superhero genre, but I think some of my favorite jokes were when they made fun of, they had like a gag about Back to the Future that was like the Back to the Future scene is probably like one of my favorite sequences.
That's one of the best ones.
That was really great. They had a really great joke about Shia LaBeouf. They did. Oh, and they had, so I don't know, you know about Nicolas Cage, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton were originally working on a Superman movie after the success of Tim Burton's Batman movie. Mm-hmm. And that got canceled. And all of these years later, they actually hired Nicolas Cage to be the voice of Superman in Teen Titans Go. And I thought that was really great. That made me laugh.
A nice throwback.
Yeah, just a fun little thing for, you know, the people that know the story behind it. But, you know, stuff like that, that, you know, they slip it in there. And so it's like it's a family-friendly thing. And it's got, like, you know, the fart jokes and things like that for the kids. And it's just like an entertaining, silly, goofy kids movie. But if you know, the more you know about, like, Marvel and DC Universe, the better the movie is as, like, a fan, too.
Yeah. And I think for me, just seeing that it was like, hey, just go make a family-friendly movie, make it fun. There were some dark things in there, too, that we noticed, which was kind of like, damn, they got that in there. But
yeah, again, like, we're avoiding spoilers.
Yeah,
but
no,
there,
no spoilers on this one.
There were a couple of jokes where I was like, oh, my gosh, why did... They did that.
They did do that. They broke the fourth wall a few times with slay.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. But overall, it was a very good
and it's good.
Fun
I don't
movie.
You know, obviously, I don't know if you know a lot more about Teen Titans Go than I do. But was Slade part of Teen Titans Go?
Did they
just bring him back as like a reference to Teen Titans?
I think he was in Teen Titans Go a little bit.
Okay.
I know there was one scene where it had a few of the few other characters that were chained up just for a brief second. You saw them. They were all in Teen Titans Go. Mm-hmm. One character was missing. At least I didn't see. I don't want to spoil it. I probably should ask you off screen, but you might not know. I'm not going to spoil who it was, but it was a pretty major character that came in later in the series that also could do a season 6. That's kind of a hit. But anyway, just I thought it was a very good movie. It was nice to sit down and laugh at it, which I think, you know, could be a good sign for things to come for them. And, you know, I thought it was done very well.
And,
for sure.
I don't know if you have a lot more to add.
No,
but
it's good.
I think there. So if you are at all a fan of Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go or even the trailer for the new Titans,
which you won't be,
there is a pretty incredible mid-credit sequence that we can't even begin to speak about, but
well, I can speak about it.
I'm gonna censor you out if you do.
Let's just say this.
It's okay, so well, let me put it this way. I thought it was really cool as someone just going in thinking it was going to be a fun movie. Mike started jumping up and down and swearing really loudly in front of little kids.
No, I did it in my head. I did it in my head. But there was a very, 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 very good mid-end credit scene.
Yeah, so final credits, I'll say there is, it's not even a scene.
It's just there.
Yeah, a little final credits like quip that you can stay around for if you want, but it's really not worth it.
Yeah.
But the mid-credits scene, you should definitely wait for.
Yeah.
If you're at all into, like, superheroes or Teen Titans or anything like that.
Especially Teen Titans. So yeah. That made me very happy. So there's... I'm not going to say what it was, but I was reading some comments on YouTube. Because, of course, you know, as soon as it hits movie theaters, it's going to be on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I think the top comment I saw was a guy that said, I guess gathering all 7 Dragon Balls worked. I'm good with that. If that goes through, I got my wish.
All right, so no spoilers.
No spoilers.
We're going to leave it there. We're going to move on.
So, just kind of somewhat wrapping up.
Oh, yes. While we're on the topic of like DC and stuff,
yes,
it's kind of a segue. It's a lengthy segue.
Okay,
but you know, Henry Cavill is Superman.
Yes,
Henry Cavill also plays in Mission Impossible.
Oh yeah, yeah. Please go ahead. Do that one. And we'll do this, and then I want to save that one for the next show.
It's actually important to this conversation. Because part of the reason Justice League was not good was because they tried to digitally edit off his mustache that he grew for Mission Impossible. And it kind of just looked like his mouth was lazy and wouldn't move the way he wanted it to. Which was really sad considering this is DC and they've probably got all of the money in the world. But they could not hire someone talented enough to digitally remove a mustache from Henry Cavill. But, again, that is neither here nor there. I digress. The point being, he has this mustache in Mission Impossible Fallout and doesn't need to alter it. And Mission Impossible Fallout was super fun. And if you've seen the others, you kind of know what to expect. It's all about like big set pieces and then bigger set pieces. Have you seen the Mission Impossible movies?
I've seen a few of them. I haven't seen the newest one.
So like the first one was pretty good. It was a decent like spy thriller. The second one is complete garbage. Just don't even watch it. It kind of fits in, but it doesn't even really fit into the canon. They've kind of tried to wipe that from people's memories. So by all means, just don't even watch Mission Impossible 2. It's really awful. And that's coming from me. I'm really easily amused, and I liked Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman. So if that gives you a frame of reference, even I did not like Mission Impossible 2. but Mission Impossible 3 was super solid, and then they kind of shook things up and kind of reevaluated how the movies should work and what they were doing with them.
Right.
So the fourth one was really good. Mission Impossible 4 is just outstanding, and then the fifth one kind of built on that, and this one is kind of a culmination of what they've been doing for the last probably like four movies. This one probably picks up. This one has more callbacks. It does kind of follow a continuum more than the fourth and fifth ones did, where those were kind of like standalone missions. This one does call back to old villains and old characters that you might not have seen for a couple of movies or things like that. And it was really good because it also, as the series went on, it kind of showed Tom Cruise's character, Ethan, becoming like more and more intense and almost becoming like unhinged. Like he just goes to these insane extreme measures to get these things done to the point that it almost makes him like a borderline psychopath.
Okay.
You know, he goes to these extreme levels to the point that he almost just seems crazy. And in this one, it kind of explains like his motivations. It humanizes him again and kind of brings him back down to earth. It doesn't change that he's doing all these crazy things, but it explains why he's doing them. And so there's a lot of like character development and reveals. And I feel like that helped this one a lot, at least grow on me. Because I think it made him a more likable character than he was in the last movie.
Okay.
So I liked that there was more character development. I liked the continuum, how it called back to like older movies. The set pieces, as always, were great. And so yeah, it's a super solid action movie, and if you've seen the others, it's probably one of the best ones, and it's probably got the most twists and turns that I've seen in a single movie, at least from the Mission Impossible series.
Right.
So you know, there's always that, you know, like end of the movie twist or like halfway when you realize that it wasn't actually Tom Cruise, it was just someone wearing a mask or something like that. You know,
that'd be interesting,
because they've got these face makers. In the Mission Impossible universe, they've got the face makers, so they can make these like 3D printed masks that once you put them on, you can actually take the form of someone else. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can like change your voice and everything. They've got the technology for that within this universe. And so in this one, it's like every handful of minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like you kind of expect these twists to happen during the movie, because it's become like a normal part of the series to have these twists happen.
Right.
But the frequency that they happened in this movie kind of shook me up a little bit. Because it was like they would have a twist and then they'd move on. And then 10 minutes later, it would turn out that everything since the last twist was part of a different twist. And it just like kept on changing up the game like every little bit. And it, at first it almost made it like hard to follow. But by the end, once you've kind of figured out what's happening and what the actual twists are, it becomes like a really solid part of the movie. It's just kind of, there's like so much you got to keep track of at once. But it was really cool. It was a super solid movie. And like I said, I think I don't know if it's my favorite of the new ones, but it definitely holds its own within a series that has become known for like big set pieces and solid performances. It holds its own really well against the last couple of movies. So yeah, definitely I can 2 thumbs up for Mission Impossible Fallout.
Okay, so it seems like they're getting back on track with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about one more thing. For at least me for today. I don't know if you want to do... You kind of talked about that a little bit in the beginning. I'm just going to do this one, and then I'll say... We're going to save a topic for next time, because I really want to do this one a little more in-depth. Because that's something that you and I can both chat about a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to talk about Tampa Bay Comic Con just for a couple minutes, and just how I think the convention scene is changing. So I've said for a while now, for probably the past 2 years, I mainly go to these shows just for who's going to be there, who's going to be signing, blah, blah, blah. And the main reason why I say that is because a lot more of the convention, which is not a bad thing to some people, is a lot more people are selling new stuff. Shirts, lanyards, pins, bags, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But then you have someone like me who really prefers to go to kind of dig, like, what old toys do you have? What old video games do you have? And there still are some vendors there that do that. But I was showing Tyler a picture today that there was a vendor there that had an original copy of The Legend of Zelda gold cart. No box or anything, just the cart. And he wanted $50 for it. That's... $20 to $25 game max.
Okay, he did at least take the time to put it back in like a plastic wrap.
But still, I mean, you see so many vendors like that, and a lot of the games are going down in price, which we'll talk about on the next show. But for me, like, when I go to these shows now, when I go to these conventions, I go right in, right over to the autograph line, wait for whatever I need to wait for. Get my autograph. I'll do like one pass back and forth. There is one vendor there that I've seen. She actually set up next to me when I was a vendor at CollectiveCon back in Jacksonville. I saw her at MegaCon in Orlando, and I saw her at this one. She does the Perler Arts, which is, you know, that's something that interests me. But the thing is that when you go to these shows now, I go to her because, you know, I got to know her for the 3 days that we were next to each other in Jacksonville here at the show. So I try to only buy from her, you know, support her.
Yeah.
But now, like, obviously Funko Pops are so big, and, you know, you've got yours right here. I've got a handful. But there's at least 5 or 6 people selling Funko Pops, and that's all they're selling. So they've got this big, giant space full of pops, and I'm talking, you know, the common $5 ones right up to, you know, $700, $900 ones, which is fine. I mean, because there are people that buy it. I'm not saying don't buy it. It
blows my mind that the pops have gotten that crazy.
Yeah, but
like it's like Beanie Baby bad at this point.
Yeah, it'll pop eventually. That'll be a topic part too.
It'll pop.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on the next show. But like for someone like me, I go there looking for a lot of the old toys. Like I'm trying to wrap up some of my Power Ranger collection. There's still some odd and end little figures I need that, you know, yeah, I could jump online and buy them on eBay, but I'd rather go and support someone because it's essentially what I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to build it. So instead of jumping on eBay and buying like 5 different figures from 5 different people, well, what if this one vendor's got the 5 different figures I need? Bundle them together, you know, one base price, bada bing, bada boom, I'm walking out with it, I know what I have. But it's even like, I look out for things for some of my other friends too, and one of my friend's sisters, a good friend of mine, you know, she loves Jurassic Park and Zoids.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find them anywhere. At least with Jurassic Park right now, I can kind of understand them if they either have it, they're vastly overpriced, or they sold it fast because of the movie out and dinosaurs are kind of making a comeback a little bit. Zoids is definitely, you know, not something that was mainstream, And that they are, some of them are out there, but you can still get them relatively cheap online. It's not like the old Power Ranger toys, old Megazords, which are $100 when they were, you know, $29.99 back in the day. You know, a lot of the Zoids now, Liger Zero is the main one. I believe he might have been like $24.99, you know, back in the early 2000s, maybe $29. And I actually picked up a brand new one off of eBay, you know, maybe a year or two ago for, I want to say, $35 or $40, buy it now with free shipping mm-hmm. as well. So it's not like they've skyrocketed up in price. But a lot of these shows now are just the same things from different people, which, again, is great. You know, I love seeing the local artists there. I've actually picked up some artwork, Power Ranger artwork from a guy.
And that's what's really cool to me. Whenever I go to cons, it's like anybody can, you know, like buy a bunch of old video games and then resell them. Anybody can get, you know, a bunch of pops and then resell them. Things like that. What's really cool to me is when you go to these conventions or whatever the case may be, and you find these people who are like really doing their own thing. You know, they've made some sort of gimmicky thing that you don't see anywhere else. Something that is unique that you don't find, you know, on the front page of Amazon or in every game shop or geek shop. Something a little bit different that you kind of have to get from these sellers that have gotten really creative and put their stuff up on Etsy or whatever. Like these cups that I picked up for the podcast,
which I use mine. You don't use yours.
Yeah. I've got my Chrono Trigger one. Haven's got the Legend of Zelda one and ours are up in the cabinet right now. But like stuff like this, you know, it's like, I didn't expect to come across it, but I'm really glad that I did because they're super cool.
And they are, you know, I'm not going to sit here and start bashing this kind of stuff because I, you know, I love this glass. I've been pretty good about remembering to bring it every week. And, you know, I picked up some of those Perler arts and whatnot. But I definitely want to go to these shows again and see toys out there and, you know, build a bundle, which actually this coming Sunday, which you say you're gonna come out and have some fun at, there is a Jacksonville Comic and Toys show right here in Jacksonville that I'll be set up at. And this is their second year doing it. And last year was just that. It was comics and toys. And they're expanding this year. There's going to be two rooms, which is fantastic. But I definitely saw a lot of people out there with stuff that I'd be interested in. And that's kind of what I like to go for. And, you know, I have gotten more into the little artsy stuff like that, which is great, you know, again. But in terms of how the convention scene is changing from when I first started going, even when you and I went back in 2014 to MegaCon, when you met the, I know it was right there and I don't remember his name, the Green Lantern artist.
Yeah.
And I met Jason David Frank. You know, I remember walking around and there were actually people there that sold toys. You know, I remember I picked up a red Battlezord, a Zeo red Battlezord in the box. Mm-hmm. Got it for a great price. And there were a bunch of other things there that I wanted to buy that I just couldn't afford because I didn't essentially plan for it that well. But now I plan for it. I bring a little bit of extra money. But it seems like those people that were there before, although some of them are still there, have kind of dipped a little bit, which kind of sucks. Good and bad. Sucks because it's not there, but good because that means I'm not spending my money on it if it's right in front of me and I don't think to look for it later on eBay. But it's definitely changed in a way. I'm not going to say it's changed for the worse. It's just changed on how people do things.
Yeah.
And I'll talk a little more about that next show with the retro game market in general with what's been going on with that. And could the retro market be popping for some things? Possibly. I don't think we're going to go, you know, the one little one-liner I'll drop being like Batman, Ben Affleck, is I don't think we're going to go back to the days where you're going to regularly find people putting out Nintendo 64 games for $3 each that haven't been picked through. So you'll find like Super Mario, Mario Kart, like even the obscure titles like Worms Armageddon, Clay Fighter 63 and a third tournament edition. What else is on there that's obscure? Like Snowboard Kids, stuff like that. But I definitely see a lot of these prices starting to trickle down. But I'll leave that for the next show because I really want to put a lot of emphasis on that one, what's been going on. Mm-hmm. And I'll definitely be able to give more of an updated insight to it, especially after this next show coming up.
Yeah.
So I think that's really all I had, unless you had any final thoughts that you want to add on yours.
I have one more topic, but I'm going to save it for next time.
Okay.
Because I'm going to sit and talk for a little bit about it. I've got some, it's comic books.
Okay.
Tune in next time to hear about comic books.
Yes, and I'll actually do a little bit of a comic book thing, too. I've been reading, I want to do a little more of an update on the Power Rangers Shattered Grid. Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot of Deadpool, Spider-Man and Deadpool. I've been, what else have I been reading? Walking Dead. I'd love to give an update on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll talk. Imagine next week's going to be a big comic book show and a big retro game show.
Yeah.
Plus anything else that may happen within the next
2 weeks. Yeah, so next time, tune back in to hear about comic books, retro video games, more about conventions, and hopefully Christopher Robin. We should have a chance to see it.
Yes, and of course we'll keep updating everything on the fan page. If you guys have more questions, please let us know. Leave a, drop us a line. You can message us, email us, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And we will answer anything. Both of us have actually also kind of been sucking on streaming.
I've had an excuse.
Yeah, I really haven't. In my defense, I have downloaded everything that I need to run on Windows 7. I just gotta, you know, take the plastic wrap off.
Maybe, depending on how it goes, I'm hoping that I'm gonna be downloading Monster Hunter World.
Oh yeah, it does come out soon.
It comes out on Tuesday. And, you know, at the time, I had not planned on having a full-time teaching position. So that might change
mm-hmm.
my plans. But maybe I can stream some Monster Hunter World if that works out.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we'll try to get that up and going.
Yeah, we'll try to get something streamed. We keep promising to do it, and then we keep doing it because you can't believe anything that we say.
But at least we've been somewhat consistent with these podcasts just outside of last week because he was on vacation. Yes. But anyway, that's all we have for episode 7.
Yeah. If you're here in town, come see us next weekend.
Yes, it's at the, I'll post a link and everything into the Facebook and Instagram and everything. Make sure it gets shared. It is the Jacksonville Comic and Toy Show. It's located at the Ramada Inn right by 295 on San Jose. It's $5 to get in. It's 10 to 4 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. If you are military or you cosplay, go in costume, it's only $2 to get in. And you can come see us.
Yeah.
I'll be there all day. I'll probably get there like 7 or 8 because I got to set up and make sure everything looks good.
We will be dressed up as us.
Yes, we definitely will be dressed
up
as us.
So we will be the ones dressed as us.
You can come and touch our beards if you want.
Or not.
You can touch my
You can touch his beard. Please
I'm
do
single.
Not.
He's married. So.
If you don't know me, don't come touch my face.
I don't care. I might even give you a discount if you do.
There you go. You can get a discount if you come touch his face, especially if you're a stranger.
Especially if you're a stranger.
So, if you don't know us beyond the podcast, and you would like to come in and touch Mike's face and also get cheap things from him,
yes,
please come see us.
I'm going to be willing to deal on all day.
1 week from today at the Ramada Convention Center.
Yep, and I'll post, like I said, I will post everything onto the fan pages to get everybody updated. Mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing everyone there.
All right.
All right, so guys, thank you so much. We'll see you in 2 weeks for episode 8.
This has been Mike and, what did I call you? Rumble McFutterson or
Rumble
something
McFutterson.
Like that? Whatever your name was this week.
Yes.
Signing off.
Bye.